Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It is the Me Too We Talk podcast. And yes, it is the Truth Serum series, where we promise to tell you the truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
And today's episode, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going there, right? We're making sure that we get past all of those stop signs that keep popping up in your life, right? We want to talk about when your mate or the person that you love, whether it be a relationship, a marriage, an engagement, when you give them clear boundaries and they just keep blowing past stop signs.
That was actually one of my first tickets. Like, I came to a rolling stop. Does that count?
Yeah, they'll still give you a ticket though, right? I mean, just because you ease into the stop doesn't mean that it's going to be that much better, right?
Okay.
Well, I had to help everybody out with that. Well, guess what, you guys? We have two amazing ladies. Am I right? Am I calling us good?
Yes, two is better than one.
Yes, two is always better than one. And that's because they have doubled their intrinsic value. And let me tell you, these chicks are bad, okay? In a good way, right? We call them good trouble. So we want to kind of go over a couple things. These ladies, I mean, I just have so much to say about them. But the one thing that stood out to me is you've noticed them and you've probably heard about them. They've been on Your Tango. They've been on Yahoo Sports. They've been on Latina Unwritten, Yahoo Lifestyle, Everyday Power Go Dates. I don't know where else they haven't been, because that's what happens when you have experts on the page and on the panel. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this. Jillian and also Jan Yuhas, they both had a situation where they had past romantic partners, and a lot of people fell kind of on deaf ears when they tried to explain what was going on in their relationships. So they decided to take control, right?
Yes.
And create some clear boundaries themselves, right? And they decided, as being empaths themselves, they learned some hard lessons, and they decided to fuel this and their passion by creating a method on how to resolve opposing views and evolve relationships to the next level. Next level, baby. Okay. On top of that, they also have relationship intelligence methods, boundary. Ladies, could somebody say that for me? What is that program called?
It's called Boundary Badass.
Oh, that's what
they
are.
Shut the front door.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you knew it. They had to say it. That's just how bad they really are, in a good way. And on top of that, they're international relationship and lifestyle coaches. But on top of that, they are boundary specialists. And I am so happy to invite these wonderful ladies to our podcast. They are here today. Please give a warm welcome to Jan and Jillian Yuhas. Yay!
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to be here.
Oh, man. We are so happy to have you here. And I mean, go ahead, honey.
Oh, no, I'm happy, sad right now.
Why?
Because it's like, looking at that bio, it's like, where were you guys at like over 12 years ago? You could have saved me a lot of trouble and a lot of money and a lot of bad dates.
Well, that's because they knew you were going to marry me, and then we were going to figure it out and find our way to you guys. And so,
it looks like you ended up in a pretty good position.
I'm definitely winning.
Somebody's winning, right? And they're twinning. Oh my goodness! Oh, I had to say it. I know you guys have heard it all your life, but I'm excited to say it. Well, please, can you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves? I know I had your bio, but please tell us, what really inspired you to get involved in creating boundaries, and a little bit about your background?
I think when it comes to boundaries, it's all about, you know, really finding your inner voice and communicating from the heart. And I think a lot of times we try to control a situation versus trying to evolve a situation. And so it's about really trying to understand not only yourself, but also your partner, so you can create that alignment. So we always felt like there had to be a better way to solve differences or problems without damaging the connection. Because you didn't want to leave that person, but you just wanted to be a team, you know, find that we versus it's like me versus you. It's like we versus the problem. So like, how are we going to do this? And so she and I, you know, coming from a family dynamic where values are really important, we started using that as our tool to communicate versus always coming from that emotion, because emotion can really flood somebody where it's really hard to understand what they're trying to say. And it also sounds very oriented, where values can really help a couple align better with each other.
Wow. Wow. And then, I mean, you guys have a lot of, you know, definite, I would say, degrees. I mean, there's so many initials in the background of your names. Tell me a little bit about that and why'd you do that?
She and I have always been passionate about learning. We definitely both have a growth mindset. And so you need a growth mindset in a relationship as well, as we're always evolving as humans, just as relationships with our partners are always evolving.
Right.
So she and I have our master's in marriage and family therapy, even though we practice from a coaching perspective, because we're very solution forward, action oriented, and we're going to see results in terms of putting new behaviors and new techniques in place in order to see that fulfillment come to fruition within a relationship.
Wow.
That's good.
You know, and I think that's part of the reason why we brought you in here, is because we've had so many couples that have reached out to us, and it came down to, you know, communication issues, but nobody was clearly laying out what is those offensive moments. What are those red flags that are really sending you over the edge? And then we saw and heard about you guys. I mean, you guys have such a great reputation out there. And we wanted to make sure that we gave our audience the best. And so we feel we have the best with you ladies. And so I wanted to see, could I trouble you by telling you a couple of the issues that we have heard about and some of our community has written about? Is that okay?
Oh, please share.
Okay, absolutely. Well, the very first one, and this definitely came into a letter, and it came from one of our female Meet a We community members. And this was her question. She said, how should I respond if the man that I am with tells me parts of me wants to be with you and other parts of me don't want you? How would you advise that community member?
So I think when it comes to relationships, our partners need to love us unconditionally. So if they're only seeing or accepting a part of us, only wanting to be with part of us, we can approach this two different ways. We can try to understand what the partner's belief system is, or their opinions, and why they're saying they don't, what parts they don't like, and try to understand. Now, if they're superficial things, then that's just a clear indicator he doesn't love you for you.
Right.
That cannot be worked through. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know, the relationship's already struggling and there's a lack of respect in the dynamic, it's probably better to walk away from that situation and really honor your worth. Otherwise, you're gonna constantly feel like you're not, you know, respected, honored, loved. You're gonna constantly feel unfulfilled in that relationship, and you're selling yourself short.
Right.
Right. You know, we've had an ongoing conversation with this female respondent, and I also wanted to get a second opinion on it too. Some of the advice that we have given to this particular person, because like I said, we've been talking for quite some time. You know, sometimes I believe that certain people prey upon people that may have a weakened self-esteem, right? And so they like to throw out breadcrumbs, you know, to someone to just kind of keep them, you know, like kind of, what's the word I'm thinking of, honey?
Kind of keep them on the hook.
Yeah, keep them on the hook.
Like you're really not in it for the long run, but at the same time, you know, this is the person for the season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Yeah, and so we just said, like, you know, you're of value. And so if you're experiencing this as well, I want you to know that I'm in agreement with both Jillian and Jan. We're in agreement with it. But on top of that, you need to be in agreement with it. You have to say how important you really are. And if you don't set that standard, then who else will respect it? And so we want you to understand you don't have to just take any old thing. And it's okay to make a clear boundary that you've raised the standard, and they're going to have to kind of jump. And they should ask you not only how should I jump, but how high. Okay. Right. So, you know, I think it's important.
No, I definitely agree with that, because it really comes down to how do you value yourself?
Right.
You can make yourself a doormat for people. Being who you are, that, you know, you're welcoming and you just allow people to just run over you. But I was going to ask, how does a person kind of evaluate their relationship and know, am I in this relationship for a season versus a lifetime? At what point do you kind of like take self-stock of your situation? Ooh, to understand?
Good. So it's important to identify your five top relationship values, things that you need to thrive in a relationship.
Yeah.
And you identify those top five. What you want to do is think about times in past situations where you weren't feeling fulfilled in that relationship, or you felt disrespected. So for instance, trust is a really big value. And if you were in a relationship where you couldn't trust someone, it could be really hard to be in that relationship. And so when you're trying to decide if you should stay or if or if you should go, you need to see if that partner can align with that three of your five values to know if they can connect with you to try to work as a team.
Right, because your relationship values are directly connected to your emotional needs and your self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah, absolutely.
Need a 60% score, that's what you're saying.
If you have a 60% score, you're gonna have a relationship that matches that. I mean, is that a D? That's a D. I wouldn't want a D. I want an A. Or true. Somebody who's at least, can you work to get to a B? Could you work to an A? Don't let anyone walk into your life and you give them a credit for an A and they're giving you F or D performance.
That's actually a very
work
good
your way up.
That's actually a very good point. We meet people all the time where what happens, so a woman or even a man, you're in a relationship and you're more in love with their potential than the person that's actually in front of you.
Ooh.
Mm. And when you're in love with somebody's potential, then you're really not in love with that person for who they are.
Mm.
And we can only find happiness and fulfillment in the present moment with what is right in front of us.
Right.
So if you think that this person is always going to be something in the future, we're living in the future, we cannot predict the future. Mm-hmm. It also will create anxious feelings if we're living in the future. And so we're never gonna reach fulfillment if we're not really focusing on who this person is today and accepting them for who they are.
Also too, that's like putting expectations on someone and expecting them to be somebody, like this vision you have of them, and trying to mold them into that vision versus like really loving them, like she said, for who they are and respecting them, because you can't change somebody, but we can also inspire them to work better with us. But you don't marry someone based on a vision or a potential.
Right.
Right. You know what? Can I tell you what we call people who are potential? That you know, you're going to love it. We call them a wet match. And we say, like, if you're going in and let's say you're in the middle of the forest and you need to set a fire, right? And that person is a match, right? And they have all the potential to set your life on fire in a good way, right? They're limited because they're wet. And so every time you try to strike that match, it's never going to be what you need it to be. And so if you're in the middle of the forest and that person is supposed to be that thing and they don't come out to be to it, that is not what you should be looking for. You need someone that's going to set you on fire, or have, if they have the potential, they should have already had a spark beforehand. I mean, yes. It shouldn't be something that, you know, you're hoping will conjure itself up somehow. Like, oh, I'm a will it, I'm a wish it. No, that won't work. So, but yeah, we got more questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, we got another one. Now, this is from a male respondent. We've summarized his letter because it was very lengthy. So I'll give you the good parts. Let's put it that way, right? But since the coronavirus began, my wife and I have been working remotely. I have noticed that my wife calls one of her male coworkers her work husband. So, which I find extremely disrespectful. Sometimes I notice that they are talking more and more after hours. Now, I do not believe my wife is cheating on me, but I do feel she is creating an emotional connection with her coworker that should be exclusively for me. Now, is this a deal breaker or am I jealous over nothing?
I don't necessarily think this is a deal breaker in a relationship, but we do need to set a boundary in terms of the type of communication, the relationship that she has with her coworker or work husband, whatever she is referring to him as. Mm-hmm. Just because she is potentially creating an emotional connection, which can be considered cheating in a relationship, depending, everybody considers their own cheating, whether it's, you know, emotional, mental, or whether it's physical. Everybody has their own definition of that within the relationship, but we are creating a deeper connection if we are communicating with that person outside of work hours. You're talking about other things that are not related to work. So it is potentially creating some sort of emotional infidelity within that connection.
Right.
How would you feel? Because I try to, not that you're not taking that into consideration, but I don't consider myself a jealous person. But at the same time, if my husband, and I'm talking about the one that's only going to be by me, and I'm looking at him right now, if he were talking to someone of the opposite sex and he's calling that person, this is my work wifey, yeah, I'm not feeling it. I would be extremely, not only disrespected, but I would wonder what happens, you know, what are they talking about outside of work,
right?
You know? And why is this connection seeming to, you know, surpass work hours, you know, because, you know, work hours is only for a certain amount of time. Now, call me crazy, But I mean, not only would I have a stop sign, but I might hit him with the stop sign. I wouldn't want that at all, right? I'm like, no, we're married. And no, she doesn't get to get named anything close to me, you know, because I hands earned down. That right. And when I said I do. And so, you know, if you're not going to accept everything we go through, good and bad and indifferent, and you weren't there when we both did covenant, you know, before the Lord, yeah, you're not in it. It's just that simple. What do you all think about that?
Another way to look at it too is like, he might be feeling emotionally neglected, but and so you don't need necessarily jealous, but he's feeling emotionally neglected in that relationship because she's giving somebody else attention more than he's receiving potentially also. So it depends how often they're spending time with each other and why he might feel that way. Because it's obviously a dynamic that has continued and starting to develop more and more. So maybe her behaviors are starting to shift more and more where he's feeling distant from her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
So could I do that? Could I call somebody work
husband? Oh, no. We already had this discussion. Somebody tried to slide in there as a work husband. I had to shut that down. No.
Yeah,
there's no such thing. Like, he's a coworker. He might not ever come to dinner, but that's the bottom line. No. He didn't put it on his wedding. He didn't pay for this ring.
No,
I don't see his name on my mortgage. No. They can kick rocks. And actually, it leads me to another question. In your opinion, from the people you've worked with, when it comes to, let's say, quote unquote, infidelity because of things of this nature, work relationships, how often would you think that's happening as far as starting in the workplace? Because I tend to think that people cheat out of convenience more so than actually seeking it out. Like you were saying, like he might be getting neglected in a certain area. Like words of affirmation is one of my love languages. So if I'm getting neglected by my wife by that, but somebody at work is kind of feeding me that, it's not that I'm looking to cheat, but you know, something might start arising. My question is, from a workplace standpoint, do you tend to find that people, that's where like infidelity may start the most?
I think infidelity can happen anywhere, especially even online today. It's much more easier, or access is easier, yeah, to be able to connect with other individuals, whether it's work or not. And now, I mean, a lot of people are working from home these days. So I'm not really, I can't really say it's always going to be a work situation, but if someone is fulfilling your love language from a coworker or outside of that relationship, then you're not really communicating with your partner at home and letting them know that you're not feeling loved based on your love languages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Definitely is not happening at home within the relationship.
Which is also a sign of self-neglect because you're not asking for what it is that you need in the relationship.
Oh, I like that. So you could be adding to the problem. You're an accomplice to your own demise.
Yes, you can.
Stop it.
You're quiet on your needs and what it is that you need from your partner to be fulfilled and happy in that relationship. Then you're responsible for that.
Ooh.
So what you're saying is you must correct your self-neglect.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I like it, baby. I like it a lot. Okay, well, good. Well, you guys, now you know a little bit about body language too, right? I mean, can you tell our listeners a little bit about that? You know, if you feel like there's a little bit of deception, you know, with your mate, maybe they're saying one thing, but then their actions or body language is showing something else.
In terms of, yes, body language counts for 93% of our actual communication in a relationship. So that's, most people are like listening to what someone's saying. It's actually our body language that's huge within that connection. And so, yeah, if there is a lack of alignment between what somebody is saying and what their body's actually telling you, there's going to be incongruencies in terms of being able to trust that partner in terms of whatever the situation might be at hand. So for instance, say somebody is closing their arms off, they're agreeing to something, but their body language is saying basically, this is not really what I want. It's going to make it hard for you to trust what they're saying moving forward in terms of that situation.
You know what? There's a lot of male stonewallers out there, right? So you can turn to them and you can kind of say, and my husband, yes, he's definitely a stonewaller. If I make him angry, he will shut me off. It's done, right? But I realized it's two things. It's one, I'm invading his space. If I invade that space, he's going to give me more of a wall off. Or if I over talk him, and you know, women have what they say, women have 20,000 words compared to men who have 7,000 words. And then I think I got another 10,000 on top of that. And so, you know, sorry, baby. And so, so with that being said, you know, he could probably have body language that says, yeah, I'm good, you know, and then, but his body language is, you know, not looking towards me, or he's turned another way, or he's got his arms crossed. Mm-hmm. What would we tell some of our listeners that are experiencing that every single day in their relationship?
So I think because body language is very, it's an innate thing. So just pay attention to the way, like, their eye contact, the way that their, like, shoulders are, if they're turned away against you, if they're walking away when you're trying to have a conversation. And just, it might not be a good time. So if you're noticing that their body language does not align with their words, then ask if this is, if there's a better time that they would rather talk about it. Mm. Because you want to make sure that they're going to be present when you're trying to have a conversation to work through a problem together. Yeah. Both people need to be a part of it.
Good. That is good. That's very good feedback.
It is.
Yeah, we've said that in class, but I think it's even better to say, pay attention. Again, that's another way of being an active listener, you know, listening to their body language, right? You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm listening to your verbal cues. I love it. Okay. All right. Well, then good. I have another question for you all. Now, when we're talking about negative impacts that maybe you both have personally maybe observed, when there is a lack of boundaries in a relationship, now this can apply to an engagement or a marriage, what are some of the negative impacts you see, you know, in some of the clients that you guys have?
I think when it comes to a lack of boundaries in a relationship, even from the beginning, initial stages, when you first meet them, if there's a lack of boundaries, you're inviting room for disrespect, which can make it really challenging for that relationship to go for the long haul. It creates anxiety, distress, like it really makes both partners uncomfortable when there's a lack of boundaries. But so many people are fearful to communicate boundaries, but they're actually your lifeline to, like, your love life.
But I think there's the misconception of boundaries and ultimatums is why there's a lot of fear involved. And so boundaries are all about operating from a place of value and logic and communicating what your needs are that mm-hmm. you cannot live without, that are tied directly to your self-worth, where ultimatums are like, you must do this or else I'm done and I'm moving on, I'm getting divorced, I don't want to be with you, I'm breaking up with you. So it's how we communicate what it is that we need that's going to make a huge impact on the relationship as a whole and the response you're going to receive in return. Because most likely, if you place an ultimatum on somebody, they're not going to follow through with that. They're going to get the complete opposite reaction, where boundaries are all about growing that relationship to the next level.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, if you think about ultimatums, you don't think that a point where someone is in a relationship for maybe 7-10 years. Now, we have a lot of people that talk to us about that, right? And they are telling us, oh, I've been with this person 7, 10, 12 years, and they won't put a ring on it, right? And don't get me started on this. This is my personal one. I get annoyed when I hear this one. But then they will break up with that person, right? And then they will marry someone else in 6 months to 7 months or later, right? And then they'll call us and ask us to officiate the wedding. Should that person have put an ultimatum there, or would you say that's more of a boundary?
So if they would have said to their partner, like, if you don't marry me or don't propose to me in X amount of time, then I'm out. Mm-hmm. That partner more than likely is not going to do what they've asked. But if you say to your partner, I value being in an evolving and growing relationship, I would like our relationship to keep growing to the next level. How can we work towards that together? What does that look like for you? What does that look like for me? How are we going to bridge that gap? And how are we going to be able to find that alignment? They might say, I don't see myself getting married. I don't see us evolving and going that way. That's not what I want for my life. And then you have your answer. Okay, well, I value getting married because I want a growing relationship, an evolving relationship. So I know that this person is not a good fit for me because they cannot meet my relationship values and needs.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That was deep. That was so. Where do I send my next payment?
Yes.
That was a good answer, because I'm sitting here
between boundaries and ultimatums, and why you're going to get a completely different response. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Because man, like, you give me that knowledge right now, like, I can go back and replay some conversations. I should have said something totally different to some people, because that was actually a very good answer.
Can I tell them what you used to do?
Oh, by all means.
Oh my God, this is the best, y'all. This is so bad. Okay, so this is pre-Rhonda, okay? So when he didn't know how to break up with someone, or if someone said that they wanted to move further with him, he would literally just say he was moving. And then he would leave. I died because I was like, you just upped and said you moved, but what happened if they saw you again?
I wasn't a big fan of tough conversations. I've literally been moving to Atlanta for decades.
We are not recommending any of our listeners do that. Do not say you're moving, okay? Just have that conversation and be clear.
Agreed. Tough conversations.
Please listen to Jillian and Jan. I think they are laying it out for you guys. Okay. Well, I've got another one. Now, we have been talking about this because we have a lot of couples that have been together for years. Some that are engaged, have been engaged for many, many years, like what we were talking about a moment ago, and some who have been married for a very long time. And we want to kind of know, I know you heard that saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, okay? Mm. First, do you believe that statement to be true? And before you answer that, if not, how can one spouse clearly set boundaries with their spouse after 25, 30 plus years of marriage?
So I do believe people can learn something new at any point in their life or in their relationship, because of course, as partners, each partner is going to grow over time, and so the relationships has got to grow too while the partners are growing. And so if we stop working on the relationship, we do get ourselves in trouble. But I think, can you teach your partner something? Yes, but make it fun, make it enjoyable, make it exciting, like see it as an adventure that you're going on together, versus making feel like work or we have to do this or else. You know, you want to like really help your partner understand, like, this is something important to me. Would you be open to doing it with me? And ask them to do something with you versus demand or tell them, because that shows that you respect them.
Mm. That's a good point.
So good.
So next time you better ask. Thank you, ladies.
I blow kisses, then I might like slightly demand, then I'll ask. It just depends on what mood I'm in that day.
When you're trying to do something new, create something new, you want to make sure there's going to be 5 positives for every 1 negative. So you want to have some positives, especially if you're going to try to recreate something or a new dynamic within the relationship, because it's going to throw some fireballs out there while you're trying to take the relationship to a new direction, or, you know.
So you're saying do some honey-dos. That's what you're saying, right? Oh my goodness, I could do that.
No, that is valid, because I can play the victim in a minute.
Yes, he's so good at it.
So if you come at me with like negative first, I'm going to get so down on myself, like, why you treat me like this? What I do wrong? And no, hands down, if she can give me 5 fun factors first, or just come positive first and then kind of slide it in there, as we would say, I think I'm more receptive to that.
Think about it, if you make your partner feel good, they're more inclined to do things that they may not typically would want to do, but they're going to already be feeling good. So it's much easier to see it as like, okay, let's try something new and see how it goes. You know, there's a more of an open mind versus like, oh, I don't want to do that.
You also need to understand your partner, because the more you understand your partner, the easier it is for you to better like position the new behavior within that relationship dynamic. It's not going to do you any good to propose a new idea to them that is completely never going to agree to based on their personality or their values and who they are as an individual. So you really need to know your partner as well and figure out how you can find alignment between what it is that you really desire and what you know they're also willing to do within that connection.
Yeah. What do you think are some side effects? You know, because we're talking about the good stuff, right? And I want to do the good stuff, because that makes it fun. And then you turn around and you're like, dang, we've been married how long? 12, 20, one day? You don't know, right? But if you're doing the things like you're saying, like maybe the negative, you know, that can, you're like, I don't care, I'm not doing all of that. They should do it. This is the way they should do these type of things in the relationship. This is what I expect type of stuff. What do you guys think are some of the side effects, you know, of, you know, not having clear but negative boundaries in marriage, maybe in particular marriage?
Well, I don't believe there's negative boundaries. I think boundaries are all about positivity and how we're going to work together and how we're going to do this together. So you're a team. But I think the side effects of not having it is like you're hurting yourself and your relationship. Like, everybody's hurting if you're not having conversations and having healthy boundaries with each other. Like I said, boundaries promote growth and evolve. So that's not, that's different from expectations. If you're placing expectations on a partner, that's negative energy, and more than likely they're not going to follow through with the expectations. You're expecting them to do something, which again is living in the future. Expectations usually lead to failure versus standards and values.
Yeah.
What if you have lukewarm boundaries, right? What if it's like, you know, they're kind of, well, sometimes they count, sometimes they don't, sometimes they do.
You're right. That's a good point. It's like a weighing scale. Like, because you don't hold true to your own values, like you were saying, that like you'll just adjust with your boundaries to whatever's happening in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. So if you value honesty, then are you really being honest with yourself?
Truth.
Or value on integrity. You can't ask your partner for something or have follow through on a certain value or certain behavior if you don't follow through on your own. We want to role model our own integrity, our own authenticity into who we are, and staying true to our values at all times if we want them to be respected by our partner.
Yeah.
Well, we can tell you all too, just from what we have noticed, you know, just from our personal experiences and from us coaching, some of the things that we have laid out that we noticed right off the bat, if there are not clear boundaries set, and or if they're lukewarm, as we would call it, or flimsy, you know, boundaries. And we're not talking about flexibility, because you should be flexible. You should be able to stretch and grow. But I'm talking about they're kind of like wet noodle boundaries. But one of the things we notice is, you know, low self-esteem, because you're not being valued, and then the person that you're with is not valuing you.
Right.
So it makes it very difficult and hard. And then on top of that, you'll start to accept below your personal standards, meaning you have something that you thought of in your head that you wanted,
yeah,
and you thought you were going to get, and you're silently, you know, angry because you haven't moved forward in what it is that you truly want. Number three, manipulation of your heart and goods and services. A lot of times, and what we mean by services is like, you know, there's something great about you, and if you're just giving everything about yourself to someone else, and there's no measure of value to it, then you feel like if they lose you, it's nothing lost. And my husband always says this all the time. If I lose something that was free given to me, I don't worry about it because it was free, right? But if it was something that I worked for and it was value to it, you're gonna push through and go harder for it. And he said that's how he was with me. He said he worked for it. He did work for it too. And yes, so, yes. So I appreciate that. And then the other thing I would say is that, you know, if it happens to you in your personal relationships, then it's gonna happen to you at work. It's gonna happen to you with your family. It's gonna happen with your friends. This is a circle that you're creating of inconsistent boundaries all the way around, and so it's just going to make you, you know, have a life of chaos, because no one knows how to treat you and you don't know how you should be treated. So I don't want that for anyone. And again, those are some of the things that we've observed, but I wanted to know, you know, you guys had so much good information for us. I wanted to know, like, what are some of the things that you can kind of give our listeners and tell us maybe a couple tips to have we-centric thinking, you know, like how can we help them to get from me to we?
So I think the first thing is, like, try to find three values you and your partner each can align with. So that way you can focus on those three values, because of course there's going to be some variety between you and your partner. But I think if you can find three values that you each can focus on, it can keep finding that we mindset and really honoring those three, which keeps things very simple between the two of you, especially when you're trying to introduce boundaries into the relationship.
Okay. All right, that's good.
So it's also important too to use active listening and really try to understand your partner by using like discovery questions, which are open-ended questions, to really try to understand who they are and where they're coming from. Because if you can't understand them, then how are you gonna reach a common ground or a mutual decision when it comes to solving a problem?
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, so now that she gave us one, she gave us two. Okay, I'm ready. What else you got?
You're going to want to use logic and love versus fear and emotion, because logic and love are going to help you be able to articulate what it is that you need and communicate with confidence, clarity, you know, conviction, construct. You know, you're going to be in that power seat where you feel good about you, so you can actually ask for what it is that you need. Because if you're in that state of fear and you're using emotion, more than likely your partner isn't going to listen or respect what it is that you have to say, because you're trying to come at them versus work with them or talk with them and having that conversation.
Okay, that was
I love
great.
It. I love
one,
it.
I know exactly who to give that one to. I know exactly. I got it right here. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is free right now.
You better get it.
Also, you're going to want to use I statements when you're expressing yourself versus you statements, because if you say you, then you're technically placing blame on your partner, and we don't want to do that. So you want to use I statements to express how you're feeling. You can identify a behavior, and then you're going to ask them to work with you based on that value that's not being met in the relationship from a we mindset. So we're trying to get them to come with you, but you're honoring and speaking from a place of inner worth, saying I value this or I need this, because you're honoring, that's showing how much you respect yourself and setting that standard so your partner knows that you're serious about what it is and you're not attacking them. You're getting them to, because if we attack someone, then they're not going to come back and want to even try to work with us. They'll just shut down. Mm.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. I do.
So for instance, when he might be stonewalling, you could say to him, I'm feeling ignored right now. I value open communication. How can we find alignment and openly talk about what's going on, you know, whatever the argument was about?
Okay,
when is a good time for us to talk?
So you're saying it's not good to shake him or anything, or try and turn his head towards me? That would be bad. That's real bad.
Try, but you might not get the best response.
Okay, I think so. Yeah, I think you're right. Again, y'all, we're not telling you all to do this, okay? We're not telling you to do it. Please listen to Jan and Jillian. They got this. They got it uncovered, don't they? I mean, good. Okay, do you have one more? Please tell me you got one more.
Think about how, when you're setting a boundary, think about how it benefits the relationship as a whole, that it's not just about you, but you're looking at it from your angle and your partner's angle and how it's going to support your relationship for the long haul. Because it's about the long-term, like, gain success versus just that short-term emotional feeling that you're having.
We want the win-win outcome for the overall relationship, not just an instant gratification on a emotional need at that moment.
That's like the main one, right? That should be number one, because like that's all I need to hear right there. Like, how can this benefit us?
No, she said you're gonna listen to all of it before you get to the good part.
That was
right.
Gold. That was golden.
Yes, and I, you know what? I want you all to please make sure that you follow these ladies. First of all, they are stunning, and I'm not just saying it. These girls are cute, and then on top of that, they're smart. I mean, not that we should put worth on it, but if you got it, shouldn't we just tell everybody all about it? I mean, dang. The other thing is, we want to tell, where can they find you? What, you know, you guys are based in the Chicagoland area. Am I correct with that?
We are based in Chicago currently right now. We do offer services online. So we meet our clients via video or on the phone in terms of all our services. So it doesn't really matter where you live.
Wow. So you're telling me that you were prepared for COVID-19. You really were. That's what you're telling them.
Years.
Ahead of the game.
Oh my goodness. We got some telehealth professionals on here. Well, can you guys tell them where they can find you on Instagram, on Facebook? Tell them, because we want them to find you and follow you. Okay.
Yes. We'd love for you guys to follow us. We're at Entwined with ENTWINED lifestyle.com. And that's our Instagram handle, that's our Facebook, and our website. And we had the word twin in our, that's how we came up with our company name, is the word twin was in the word entwined, and how our lives and relationships are all entwined with one another.
Oh, I love that.
That's cute.
That is so cute.
And we'll also put it in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. We're going to put it in the show notes, and we want you all to make sure you just bombard them. Send them questions, all of that, because when people have all the answers that you're looking for, you should ask. That's the first part of it. Ask and you shall receive. Okay?
Yes.
Assess situations before we assume. That's where we get in major trouble in relationships. So ask those questions and gain insight before you assume the wrong thing from your partner. So.
Oh, hey, I love it. Yes.
I'll take that. I'll take that and run with it.
I'm taking it. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
We loved having you on the show. We got to have you back again. And so I'm going to get you to say yes on air so that we can hold you accountable.
We'd love to. Thank you so much for having us. It was great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one last thing. If you guys head over to our website, you can get our free boundary scripts on our website. It pops up and it'll say, get your free boundary script. So you guys can get some examples of how to use boundaries in your relationship.
Absolutely, yes. So wait a minute, you gave them great information, free information, and then you're giving them stuff? Oh, yeah. Yes, see,
good things coming too. Like I said, I'm just saying.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you all so much for listening to the Me to We Talk podcast. And again, we want you guys to join our community. So please text Me to We to 22828. Again, text Me to We to 22828 and you will be a part of our community. Thank you all so much, because didn't we tell the truth?
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
Thank you all, and see you next time.